Thanks, Rach. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm really happy to have the chance to share with you again in part three. And we're in this series, Psalms, the Playlist for Life. And I know there's just such transformation the Lord is bringing into our hearts and lives as we dig into this together. Hopefully, you grab those notes. You see kind of a unique title. I'm going to explain that in a minute. But, you know, one of the things we say at New Life Church, we talk about love God, grow together, serve others. And love God, the way we do that is, there's a lot of ways we do that, but one of them is in our worship and in a lifestyle of praise. And so I'm really glad we get to dig into this series for that reason. Not just so we learn to like worship better together, but like as a lifestyle where we're on our own, privately and publicly. And I also like the idea of the playlist because sometimes we just have the wrong song stuck in our head. And, a song is a metaphor, okay? It might not be a literal song stuck in your head. It might be, just be like the wrong kind of thinking, the wrong stuff just going through your mind, weighing you down. And I really believe the psalm we're going to dig into today is specifically addresses that in a way that is going to help bring a lot of positive change. Now, in Psalm 42, let me back up and just say the Psalms in general underscore the priority and the power of worship and praise in all of life, not just in a moment, a couple of moments. It's like, you know, just categorically all areas of life. And in Psalm 42, what we're going to learn today is that praise is an act of your will. You can choose, make a conscious decision to give God praise. It's not just something you do in a moment where like you're just feeling so good. You finally let out a little hallelujah. Woo! You're like, it finally has come to this. Thank you, God. No. It's a conscious choice that you're making in your life. And at times, it will even be a sacrifice. Maybe not every time, but sometimes, possibly many times, it will be a sacrifice. And let me give you this little thought. I've shared this before, but I truly believe that this idea of a sacrifice of praise, we will not be able to give God in heaven a sacrifice of praise. Like, Caleb, that sounds like not biblical. Let me tell you why it's biblical. It's not a sacrifice if it's not tough. Is it going to be tough to worship Jesus in heaven? In the glory, with the angels, with billions of other people around the throne. Is that going to be, it's not going to be difficult. When all of your faith has become sight and we're beholding him, it's not going to be difficult. You won't be able to help yourself. I won't be able to help myself. But you can give God something here that you will not be able to give him there. And that is a sacrifice of praise. And I believe that worship and praise are one of those things when the fire falls at the judgment seat of Christ and it consumes wood, hay, and stubble and the gold and silver and precious jewels, metaphorically speaking, when that pile remains, I believe that part of what's in that pile is that sacrifice of praise that you gave God when times were tough. Amen. Psalm 42. To the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. So now we're looking at a song and a psalm that is not by David, but it's by the sons of Korah. It starts off in the Passion Translation. It says, a contemplative poem for instruction by the prophetic singers of Korah's clan. So these guys were prophetic singers in the tabernacle of David, appointed by King David. And they were Levitical singers, and they were over the music, or a large part of the music, in the tent. And we're going to start with verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks or the water's edge, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember those things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? He's talking to himself. You ever talk to yourself? You ever give yourself a lecture? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. We're going to stop there. This song goes on, and this verse we just read that's on the screen, that's like the refrain or the chorus that gets repeated. In fact, in Psalm 43, that exact chorus is repeated again. They say that Psalm 42 and 43 used to be one song, but they're like, man, Psalm 43 has got so much in it, let's just make it its own psalm. I guess somebody decided that. But they connect, they go together, and you can see that with the chorus. And what you see here is part, kind of what Dustin was sharing a moment ago. The psalmist, or maybe the psalmists, if it was by the sons of Korah, plural, it might have been a collective that wrote this. But we see that they're completely vulnerable about what they're feeling. The psalmist, I'll just use a singular for now, he's down, but he doesn't stay down. You know, we get down sometimes. We do. We have low moments in our lives. But the thing is, we can't stay in that place. We can't stay down. You might get down, but don't stay down. Tell somebody, don't stay down. The Bible says the righteous falls seven times and rises again. He doesn't, or she doesn't, stay down. And there's this resilience, this renewal, inside cover of your notes now, a resilience and revival and renewal in God's presence. And the question is, how do we access that? How do we get a hold of that? Well, Psalm 42 is going to show us, and I want to show you a threefold progression in this psalm. This progression repeats three times. We're just going to look at one of them. But the progression begins with A, spiritual hunger. The Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 6, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. Jesus said, you're blessed if you hunger and you thirst. Spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst is a good thing. And it's introduced here with this, this beautiful picture. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul. You ever think about that? Your soul can actually pant. It can long, it can ache with thirst. You ever been really thirsty, like super thirsty, like dangerously thirsty? Or maybe you had too much salt and you ate the whole bag of Doritos or something awful like that. That wasn't good for you, but tasted so good. And you didn't have any water and you're on a road trip. You're like, I'm so thirsty. You know, there's different levels of thirst, right? But you can go quite a while without food, a lot of days without food. But you can't go long without water. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity. And we see in this verse, the sons of Korah, they're picturing this deer aching with thirst, and maybe that's from a drought or from heated pursuit. A predator is after it. It escapes, and it needs to drink. But the deer is longing for and needing water, and in the same way, the psalmist's soul longed for and needed God. He's saying, just like that deer needs water to live, I need God to live. My soul longs. I thirst for God. It's a survival thing, not just a luxury thing. I'm seeking God. I need his presence, not just so I can feel a little bit blessed, get some goosebumps or something like that. I know in my heart of hearts that I need God. I'm desperate for God. And that's what this is communicating here. You know, we're made for communion with God. And we'll be unsatisfied outside of connection with him. We have to have his presence. And there's just something so simple and pure about spiritual hunger in these verses. You know, water isn't like a bonus feature for life. It's a necessity. And I used to sort of think of this picture as a deer peacefully, you know, sipping water from a bubbling brook. You know, like a really just like nice, I don't know, doctor's office picture or something. And really peaceful over your mantle at home. But, I love the song, As the Deer Pants for the Water. But it was kind of like, I need a little sip. I need to quench my thirst. But this is like I need to get down into the creek and gulp up gallons of water kind of thirst. It's desperate thirst. It's longing thirst. You can't go without water. Your internal organs, whether you're a human or another kind of animal, your internal organs will shut down without water. And I'm here to tell you this morning, your soul will shut down without his presence. And we're not meant to live shut down and closed down like that. My soul thirsts for the living God. He's obviously, you know, I want to talk about it just for a moment, emphasize the living God. And that means that, you know, of course, he's alive, but he is our reviver. He is our life giver. He's the one that came to give us life and life to the full, life more abundantly. So we start off with spiritual hunger. It's this beautiful picture. They're like, I need you, God, so bad. And then we get to this next part of the progression that is point B. It's a compounding list of what has him down. And it's like, it's not just one thing, but it's kind of like a stack of things. And it keeps building up more and more. And, you know, as we were brainstorming for message titles for this series, a buddy and I, who is leading worship today, we came up with this one title, this one theme. We're like, we said, the buddy came up with this. He said, what about doing one on soul funk? Soul funk. We're like, yeah, man, soul funk. Yeah, you get funk in your soul and you need to get it out. And yeah. They're like, they could kind of play on words like a musical style, like soul funk. But no, but it's just talking about something else. And it's what the psalmist has here in this passage. And it's what we have sometimes. Soul funk is a way to describe when your thoughts and your desires and your feelings are weighed down and depressed, and maybe it's from hurt or pain. Maybe there's a lie at work somewhere in your thoughts, something not true that you believed and it started weighing you down. Maybe it's a fear or an anxiety that's just kind of like pestering you in the back of your mind. Maybe you just feel overwhelmed with negativity and pessimism, and you're just starting to feel melancholy and morose, and you're just, it's just soul funk. It's just this sense of maybe a foreboding or fear or anxiety, and it's just like accumulatively weighing you down. And you know what? Maybe there's no reason at all to feel that way. Sometimes we get into a place where we just feel weird, and there's no reason. Sometimes it's actual depression. But the bottom line is, you know, soul funk is where you'd like, you feel off, down, not your best, not yourself. You feel funky. And I want to ask a buddy to come since he came up with this title. The Bible says that every man should bear his own burden. And what I have here is a regular backpack. Just feel that backpack, bud. You know, it's just like going to school, got a couple of stuff, a little bit in there, you know. Put that on, would you, buddy? I think Ben wore it last. It's his backpack, so it might need to adjust it there a little bit. All right. You good? Okay.
So far.
Normal level of burden. Now we're going to start taking some weights. You know, I had this, I got offended, and I didn't want to get past it. I kind of just nurtured it, and I didn't let it go, and I just started carrying it around. It's not that bad. Only 7.5 pounds. Then this thought came across my mind, and instead of giving that to God and trusting Him, it just like I started carrying that in my heart too. And it just starts weighing me down. And then there were a couple little things, just negative thoughts. I was watching CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. I have one weight for each channel. Couple of small ones. How's that feeling, bud? Is it starting to get heavy? These things start accumulating. They start adding up. You know, when I carried this backpack in this morning, I thought it might rip. It started to make a ripping sound because we're only meant to carry a certain amount of weight. I don't know if I could even get that other one in there, buddy. I don't know how Ben fit them all in there. My son actually puts all this weight in here and does push-ups with it. This is like his workout thing.
See if I can zip this up.
Just walk around with that a little bit, buddy. I mean, do you feel like you can just be yourself? Feel like you can lead worship with that?
Not at all.
You feel like you can have a good day wearing that all day?
Not at all.
Okay.
I'm having to lean forward.
Start leaning forward. You start feeling like you can't, it affects your posture. It starts to weigh you down. Now, the scripture says to put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. When we start to have these accumulated things in our soul, it begins to just weigh us down. And you might not be hunched over physically or trying to change your posture, but in your soul, in your mind, in your attitudes, you're beginning to really carry the weight of that internally, and it starts to shut you down. Now, I'm going to gently take this off, buddy, so we don't hurt anything here. We got to take off the spirit of heaviness, and we got to put on the garment of praise. I love this jacket. It's a Patagonia, and it's probably ounces. And it's colorful. Yeah, you can put that on. The person that gave that to me said, Caleb needs more color in his life. So it's definitely, you can pick me out in a crowd with, how does that feel, buddy?
Light.
Airy.
Yeah. Airy.
Yeah, it's airy. It's light. You know, the Bible says take off the, put off the spirit of heaviness. The heaviness, it means without color. And it means heavy. And it means dull. And then garment of praise, it's like a hallelujah garment. Man, it's colorful. It's light. You feel like, man, I want to go skiing. I want to climb a mountain. You feel like you can go backpacking in that?
Absolutely. Patagonia.
All right. Give Buddy a hand this morning. You can wear it if you're cold. Wear it. Yeah, yeah. Keep that garment of praise and lead worship in it at the end if you don't mind. You know, like each lie that's believed, each offense that's nurtured, each fear that's unsurrendered, each negative thought, it becomes added weight. And when you have added weight, you just don't want to do anything, or not as much. You lose motivation and inspiration. You don't really want to get up and get motivated. And it starts to just, even if it's little things, even if it's a little negative thought, those things really accumulate. You guys know what I'm talking about? They accumulate. Sometimes you already have a lot in there, and you're kind of just functioning and living with it. And then there's one more little 2-pound weight that gets added, and all of a sudden you notice all the other 60 pounds that are in there. But you weren't supposed to have the other 60 in there either. We're not called to live with that garment of praise. I mean, we're called to live with the garment of praise, not the spirit of heaviness. So, you know, Bill Johnson says it like this: I can't afford to have a thought about me in my head that he doesn't have in his head about me. I can't afford to carry around those mindsets, those lies, those negative thoughts. I need to let go of them. Look in verse 3 and 4. Look at this compounding list. We see in, basically, I'm going to summarize this. In verse 2 and 3, when shall I come appear before God? My tears, they're like my food day and night. He's basically saying, I've felt like this for a while. In verse 3, where is your God? He's saying, people are talking about me. And in verse 4, he's like, it used to be like this. All this good stuff was happening. He's basically thinking, my best days are behind me. And he starts listing these things. He starts saying these things that are not positive thoughts necessarily, and he starts to get a little bit hopeless and a little bit down, and there's an accumulative effect. And by the way, remembering what God has done is a good thing. Remembering those experiences and moments and testimonies that we have in Him, that's vital. But sometimes we have the best is behind me kind of attitude. Those were the good old days kind of an attitude. We're like, yeah, God moved in my life. I experienced this, but I don't know anymore. And we start to like get into like a, rather than being encouraged and uplifted and letting that testimony prophesy to us about the present and the days ahead, we start to let it get us down. And you know what? Bottom line that happens when he gets from verse 4 to verse 5, he's telling himself, snap out of it. Get out of this funky place. It's like, this is kind of what got me down. But I'm not going to stay down. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Take off that heaviness. Get that soul funk off your back. Put on praise. That's what the course is all about. You know, spiritual hunger won't allow you to remain in pity. It will pursue him in praise. Spiritual hunger, you may get down. You may feel sorry for yourself. You may feel like, you know, you may start to get into like a down place, but there's something I want to tell you. The Spirit of Christ is in you. If you're a child of God, you're a Christian, God is alive inside of your life. Your hunger is going to get stirred up, and there is a hunger in your spirit that is more powerful than the depression in your soul. And you can't stay in pity for too long when you have that hunger. It's going to rise up and begin to pursue Him in praise. It's like my circumstances versus God's truth. Praise starts to put my eyes back on the truth. Let's go to point C here in the progression, the victory of praise. The victory of praise. And we just read this verse. Why are you cast down? I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified and also the Message. The Amplified translation of the Bible, where the Amplified basically takes a Hebrew word and it might put a little bit of definition next to it. And so that's why they call it the Amplified. You get verses that are almost twice as long sometimes because of that. But it says this: why are you cast down, O my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him. For I shall yet praise him who is the help of my sad countenance and my God. Here's the message. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? I like how he calls his soul, dear soul. Hey, dear soul. Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. So now we get into this place where we see the victory of praise. And I want to give you a few points about this verse. 3 points about the victory of praise. Number one, there's a time to question your feelings, to check yourself, to ask, why am I feeling this way? Why am I depressed? Why am I hopeless? And not so you can build a case about why you should remain there, but to question it with skepticism. To be skeptical about your feelings of depression and your feelings of anxiety. To question it right next to the goodness of God, realizing that the goodness of God always outweighs whatever turmoil and anxiety and lowness you're feeling in your life. Why am I downcast? That's to be low or depressed. Why am I disquieted? That's to be in a storm or a tumult or a turmoil. Why is a storm going on inside of me? And so there's this sense at this point in the psalm that whatever the answer is simply doesn't stack up to how good God is. Did you know that you are not a prisoner to your emotions? Did you know that your emotions are a part of your soul and they're not the most powerful part of you? Your spirit is the most powerful part of you? That you are a spiritual being created in the image of God, and there's a part of you that can rise up that's more powerful than desire, more powerful than feeling, more powerful even than just, you know, whatever thoughts are there. There's a spiritual, eternal part of you that can rise up and say, no, we're not going there right now. We're turning this ship around another direction. And it's like you just don't let that stuff define you anymore, that soul funk abide in you or become your identity. Question its authenticity. Point two, under this victory of praise, he commands his soul. I'm giving you an order. You can only command somebody in the military that you are a ranking officer over. And now, by the Spirit, by who he really is in his inner life, not just the mind, will, and emotions of the soul, but his spiritual being, now he's giving a direct order to his soul. Soul, hope in God. So many people feel like if they feel a certain way, they can't escape it. I get how overwhelming emotion can be, and I'm not saying I'm not empathetic to any of that right now. I am. We're all in this human condition. The psalmist right here is in that condition. Like, I'm not saying like it's wrong to feel bad or be vulnerable or be broken or any of those things. What I'm saying is you're a very powerful person, and you don't have to remain down or give up or let that stuff stick to you and bury you and feel like you're losing in life because of it. But there's something inside of you. The greater is he that is in you. There's someone inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's that part of you, that new creation man can rise up and begin to command. Your spirit can command your soul. Your spirit can begin to raise your expectation. And it's based on who he is, not on your past, not even on your present, not on your surroundings. A circumstance is simply that which surrounds you. It's not based on what your immediate surroundings are. It's based on the unchangeable truth of his faithfulness that's forever settled in heaven. And he says, he commands his soul, hope in God. And then point three is he chooses to praise. This is all under the victory of praise here. Three, he chooses to praise. I will yet praise him. And again, praise is a conscious choice. It's a choice to re-engage. It's a choice to get off the DL, off the disabled list, and to get back into the game. It's a choice to say, I'm not going to be on the sidelines. I'm not going to let this thing derail me. Take me out. Make me have a sick day or a sick week or a sick year. Back at home, laying on the couch, doing nothing. I'm going to rise up and get back into action with the Lord. I will yet praise him. I will yet praise him. Check this out. This is really amazing. Why will I yet praise him? It says, for his help. You know what the word is in the Hebrew for help? It's Yeshua. This is the word, when you get into the Greek in the New Testament, that is translated Jesus. I will yet praise him because he is Jesus, because and this word Yeshua means salvation, or Jesus means salvation, deliverance, prosperity, freedom, victory, healing. That is all in the name of Jesus. I will yet praise him who is the help of my countenance. His name is Jesus. Jesus, my salvation. Jesus, my deliverance. Jesus, my victory. Jesus, my healer, my helper, my savior. Not just in the past, but right now. Look it up at blueletterbible.com if you want. Strong's Concordance. Check it out. It's Yeshua. You're my Jesus. I can praise, I can change, I can rise up, I can break out of this. I can shake off of these, I can shake off these chains, I can shake off the blues. Sometimes you need somebody to connect and pray with you. I'm not saying we don't need the body. I'm not saying it's all by yourself. I'm saying the power of the Holy Spirit is there to help you and assist you, that there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in prayer. There's power in a touching and agreeing, and there is power in praise. When we start to praise him, it makes room for him, and all of a sudden everything looks a little bit different because his presence, or much different because his presence is there. I'm wanting to tell you something, all of these things today, because there are a lot of us, maybe even this morning, maybe even in the room, that you struggle with depression, you struggle with heaviness, you struggle with just being heavy-hearted and kind of living like that. And I'm here to tell you this morning that there is help in the name of Jesus. I'm here to tell you this morning that you can put off the spirit of heaviness and begin to put on the garment of praise. It might not be like a totally instant thing, although I believe that in the room today there's freedom and there's an anointing to break the yoke of heaviness off of you. But I also believe in the room today there is grace to begin to put on the garment of praise. And that grace is something like it's available. It's in the wardrobe. He's already custom fitted it to you, but you have to make the choice to put it on and wear it, like Buddy's wearing that green jacket right now. You have to make the choice to actually put it on. It's already there. It's an available provision, but you've got to say, yeah, I'm going to slip into that and we're going to do this thing. I'm going to get my praise on. I'm going to put on the garment of praise. There's literally, I remember this from an old Hosanna Integrity worship cassette tape. Lift him up. What was the one from Hawaii with Bob Fitz? There's some really good ones, man. I got to go back in Apple Music and download some of those again. But they were like these worship services, and they were a little bit like produced. And I remember one of the worship leaders was like kicking off the song, and he's like, "Praise looks good on you." And it's, we always used to kind of like mock it and like laugh at it. But it like, it's true. It's like, there's a verse in the Psalms that says, "Praise, it looks good on the righteous." It's a little cheesy the way he like said it. It sounds like, but wait, there's more. It sounded like that. But it's true. And we're going to put our praise on. And, you know, he's saying this, you know, soul, why are you so upset? Why are you sulking and fretting as though you have no hope? Don't give up. Put your hope in God. He hasn't given up, even if you've given up. So stop dwelling on everything that's wrong in your world. Stop thinking about all, and start thinking about all that's right. Remember the friendship with God and the relationship with God that you've enjoyed. Remember his blessing. Recall his acts of mercy and kindness over your life. Remember the great love he's shown you on the cross. It isn't over. This is what he's saying here. It's not over. It's not the end of the story. He stops himself in the middle of his complaining, and he starts praising in verse 5. He stops himself in the middle of his rant in verse 4 and starts praising with like high praise in verse number 5. And it's time for us to like put a hard stop on that list of murmuring and complaining that's just burying us in the weightiness of all of that soul funk, to put a hard stop on it and say, okay, I'm going to make a shift. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to begin to praise. It's not over. It's not the end of the story. I'm going to praise him, my Savior, my God, my Jesus. Now, as we're talking about praise, and we're wrapping this up today, this conscious choice to praise. Little point A is that praise is a willing sacrifice. I listed four psalms there that you can look up later, and all of them say, I will praise. It's an act of the will, my choice, my will, my decision is involved in it. No one can choose for you. Only you can choose. It's a choice. It's a willing sacrifice. Point B, when do we give God praise? The Bible says continually in Hebrews 13:15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Everybody say continually. That means like wedding vows, almost like the best of times, the worst of times, in sickness, in health, richer, poor, continually. It means privately and publicly. Every day throughout the day and corporately. It means directly and indirectly. Directly is what we've been talking about. I'm going to directly praise God. But you know how to indirectly praise God? The same way you indirectly compliment someone. You're giving them a compliment behind their back. Man, did you see how good that person did when they did this? It was amazing. And you're sharing a testimony about what's happening with somebody else. When you talk about with someone, I'm talking to Bill right here, saying, man, the Lord came through in my life. It was amazing. I was sick. I was injured. And the Lord touched me and he healed me. It was awesome. I'm telling Bill the story, but I'm giving God praise in the process. That's indirect praise. We need to learn to do that. And you know what? Complaining is also like when we complain indirectly, it's like the same. Yeah, it's the same deal. So it's like we need to learn to praise directly and indirectly. And we're talking about how it's a choice, how it's continual. And finally, let me say this. I want to end with this point, point C. Learn to lead yourself in worship. Learn to lead yourself in worship. You can lead yourself. You can lead somebody else. Some people want to lead others. This is general leadership before they can even lead themselves. First leadership lesson in life is learning to lead yourself. When you're going to do what you're supposed to do, even when you don't feel like doing it, but you rally yourself and you get yourself up on your feet to do what's called to do. You know, when you praise God personally and privately during the week, you're ready to worship him in public. You are. You won't need a worship leader to make you feel like praising God. And yes, there's a place for worship leaders. I'm grateful for that in our corporate worship. But you know what? It's not their job to stir us emotionally enough and make us feel good enough that we can finally start to feel good about our good Father. It's not their job. If we learn to lead ourselves, come on, somebody. I'm preaching right now. If we learn to lead ourselves in worship, we're going to say what David said. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We're going to be like, man, I'm so excited. I'm so ready. Like we come into this place and we've already been leading ourselves in worship. And this is true. Like in a way, we're all worship leaders because each of you, you're a temple of the Lord. What we do in our house, it affects what we do in the house of God. What we do collectively with everyone else. So I'm going to ask our team to come, our worship team to come. And this morning, as we're looking at this psalm and we're looking at how there's hunger, and yet there is this compounding like set of things and issues that were going on with the psalmist, list of things that have him down, and yet there was a shift into praise. We learn in this that we can rise up on the wings of praise. We don't have to stay where we are. Praise is how we make room for God in our lives. Everything changes in his presence. And I want you to know this morning how powerful you are, how much authority you have. Praise is like a weapon in your arsenal. You have authority in your life to shift the atmosphere in your life. And you know, whatever you cultivate internally is what's going to happen around you externally. You have the power to cultivate this and to change this. You have the authority. I want you to tell somebody you are powerful. Say this, I am powerful. I can choose to give God praise. Stand up on your feet with me. Say this. I choose. Say it again. I choose to give you praise. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the way that your word both challenges us, instructs us, but releases grace in the very moment we hear it to empower us. And right now in the room, there's an empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Some of you really relate to this verse. Some of us were like, yeah, I remember a time in my life like that. Some of you are like, that time is right now. And I'm telling you today, and it started with worship earlier when some of the stuff Dustin was sharing, but today the Lord is empowering you to step out of that melancholy heaviness and to put on the garment of praise. To put it on as a garment and to wear it as a mantle in your life.